to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss a recently developed and released product that's a synthetic analog of the pheromone bovine maternal appeasing substance. And to discuss some recent research on this topic, I'm joined today by Dr. Rinaldo Cook, who's a professor for beef cattle research at Texas A&M University. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for the invite, Aaron. It's a pleasure to talk to you and to your listeners.
Well, Dr. Cook, before we dive into today's topic, tell us a little more about yourself, your background, and how you got to where you are today.
You bet. I was born and raised in Brazil. I went to college in Brazil, graduated in 2003, so I was 24 at the time. Moved to the University of Florida for a master's and PhD degrees. Graduated from Florida in 2008, moved to Oregon State University. Stationed in Burns, Eastern Oregon for 9 years on a research extension position. And since 2017, I've been with Texas A&M on a mostly research appointment. And my focus is on beef cattle management from, cow-calf, nutrition, female development, all the way to feedlot nutrition and carcass quality. So very comprehensive research approach.
Well, recently you've been doing some research on maternal bovine appeasing substance. This is, I think, catching a lot of press and a lot of interest in the industry. Tell us a little more about this product, how it works, and then maybe step back a little bit and just, because there's been other analogs of this developed in other mammalian species as well. Just give us kind of an understanding of what's happening with this.
Yeah, the appeasing pheromone, it's naturally occurring in most of the females when they're lactating mammals, right? It's produced by the, near the, around the mammary gland, and the objective of this pheromone in nature is to appease, give a sense of a calming effect, to the offspring. And this whole area was initially developed in swine and then, transitioned to other mammalian species too, including cattle. So I was introduced by this concept back in 2016, and there was no research done on the bovine side. It was mostly done on the swine side. I decided to investigate this area a bit further. I thought there was a lot of potential in terms of mitigating stress on beef cattle systems. The whole stress, nutrition, health interaction was always something very strong in my research program, from the stress of weaning all the way to the stress of transport and impacts of stress on reproduction. So this technology fit very well the management strategies that I was always pursuing to develop in terms of mitigating stress in cow-calf systems, background operations, and feedlots as well. So I got to know the technology a bit better back in 2016-17, and was able to start or to conduct a few initial trials with technology that was specific to the bovine. And that's when we decided to use the term bovine appeasing substance. We tried not to use the term analog of the pheromone too much. So it's basically the way that this technology was developed was the scientists from France were able to isolate the natural pheromone from the sow's mammary gland. And then, in the lab, running through the GC mass spec, they were able to identify the composition of the natural pheromone. And then they were able to replicate that pheromone in the lab using a mixture of long-chain fatty acids. And so that's called the analog of the natural pheromone produced by the females, the lactating females. And instead of using the term analog of the pheromone, we just went ahead and baptized it as bovine appeasing substance. Now we're calling the maternal bovine appeasing substance to be a bit more specific. So the bovine appeasing substance, it just mimics the same function that the natural pheromone has on the animals. Binds to receptors in the glomerulonasal organ. I guess I got it right. And there it gives a chain of reactions that has a calming effect, a psychological calming effect in the animal. And it's funny that you think that only young animals have receptors for that analog. It's actually, those receptors are there, throughout their lives, at least productive lives, because we see benefits of the bovine appeasing substance to young cattle, as well as older animals, such as lactating dairy cows and even 3-4-year-old bulls going to the packing plant in South America.
So talk about some of the research that's been done. I think as I look at the research, it's pretty intriguing as we think about stress to cattle and minimizing stress and the opportunity to use something that could help do that is certainly, I think, a motivator to figure out how could this be applied. And you've done a number of studies you've been involved with, some in the dairy industry, some in the beef industry. Tell us about those studies.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I think looking at the literature, this is probably a new technology that has a lot of science behind it. Everything's been published, is on a scientific journal, and also disseminated through the industry via outreach meetings or communications like this one. So when I started to think about the application of this technology, lowest hanging fruit for me was weaning, right? Calves at weaning. When you think about the appeasing substance and stress, right away came to my mind, let's try this at calves at weaning and see if there is a mitigation of stress caused by the separation from the dam, and if those animals are going to do better during a 45-day backgrounding or preconditioning period. So the first study we ran was in this scenario. We just had calves being weaned on the same day, and half of them got it, half of them didn't. So I'm just being very simplistic here. I'm not going to talk about replications or much about experimental design. Basically, in a population of 300 calves, half got it and then half didn't. They just got a saline control because the bovine appeasing substance you apply to give that animal that immediate access to the BAS, and also you apply to the nuchal area just behind the pool, because in that area, the animal has glands, okay, that produce oil, sebaceous glands. And as you apply in that nuchal area, those glands absorb the bovine appeasing substance. And for the next 2 weeks, as the animal is producing oil again, okay, to lubricate the skin, those glands release the bovine appeasing substance again to the surface of the skin, and the animal can smell it. That's why you have a 15-day working period on average. Application on a muzzle is more a immediate effect, so the animal starts smelling right away. So we applied half the animals, we applied the bovine appeasing substance. The other half, we just got a saline control, just a placebo effect. We noticed that the calves that received it, the bovine appeasing substance, initially their behavior was that they start grazing right away. This is the only observational situations, but that's what caught my attention right away. And this is what a lot of folks using the product out there are noticing, the behavior effect. It's instant. So the animals that received it, as soon as they were turned out to the pastures, they start grazing right away. The control animals, they went to the pasture, but right away, they went to the fence, bawling, looking for mama. So the behavioral difference was instant. And then for 45 days, we followed those calves through a backgrounding period. And the animals that received it, they gained more weight. They had less blood markers of stress, which tells us that by decreasing stress, the animals were able to eat more, perhaps, even though we didn't measure feed intake. But more importantly, they were able to convert more feed into gains. So they were about 7 pounds heavier at the end of 45-day backgrounding period. And we followed up with two more weaning studies, because one study doesn't tell the whole truth, right? You have to replicate it to make sure you consolidate the results. We ran two more studies with a similar approach. And again, the animals that received the bovine appeasing substance at weaning for the next 45 days, just mimicking a 45-day preconditioning period, for instance, they were heavier at the end, they had less physiological stress, and overall, their immune system was also more robust, meaning what? They were producing more antibodies against BRD vaccines, for instance. So they're getting ready for the next step of their lives in a better way because of the less stress caused by the weaning process.
As you look at this product and you think about, again, just research that you have coming up, where do you see this also being applied beyond the weaning phase?
Yeah. So, you know, still back in 2019, when we wrapped up the whole weaning period, next step was to go into receiving cattle, high stress receiving cattle. And we ran two large studies on that specific scenario, just purchasing cattle from unknown sources and auction yards, and just bringing them to our experimental feedlot and just running a high-stress receiving a period model where BRD is expected to be elevated. In both studies, again, the animals received the bovine appeasing substance at arrival or initial processing, and the other half didn't. So one study was at arrival, the other study was at initial processing, which was 24 hours after arrival. Okay, just different approaches. In both studies, again, we didn't see a decrease in BRD. Actually, one of the studies, we saw signs of BRD earlier on the animals that received the bovine appeasing substance. And the rationale behind that is because they were calmer. They were showing signs earlier, were able to pick up the disease earlier. And consequently, in both studies, the animals that received the bovine appeasing substance, they required less antibiotic treatments to recover from BRD than the control animals. Okay, so less need of antibiotics to recover from BRD. In both studies, the number of pulls and mortality was less, especially on the second study, was less on the bovine appeasing substance cattle. Then when you do the overall economics and in terms of a live weight change per pen, the benefits of the application of the technology were huge. So the second approach that we had was high stress receiving cattle. The results, again, better performance, better efficiency on a pen basis. That's in calculation. And of course, that's because we had less animals being removed from the study, less animals dying from BRD, which tells us that by mitigating the stress, the immune system is stronger, fighting the disease better, consequently, more pounds of live animals at the end of the receiving phase. After that, third approach was on cattle going to the packing plant, because when you think about stress shipping to the packing plant, first thing that comes to mind is dark cutters. Even though it's really hard to do research with dark cutters because the incidence of that problem is fairly low, so you need a huge amount of animals to pick up statistical differences. But still, it is a fairly substantial issue that we face in North America and across the world too, in terms of carcass quality. So we ran a few studies. One of them just got published. The most research paper that we published on the bovine appeasing substance is specific to application before they go to the packing plant. And it all makes sense. As you load animals into the truck, then they go to the packing plant. It can be 30 miles away. It can be 200 miles away. The transport itself is stressful, but I think the biggest stress is still to come is when they get unloaded at the packing plant. They wait there for several hours, large time. They can smell what's going on. They can hear what's going on. So that's a very challenging situation for them. So the approach of using the bovine appeasing substance on this specific period is to mitigate the stress caused by this process, and with that, see what kind of a carcass quality traits we can improve. So on this last study, what we did, we used the oilers to deliver therapies to fat cattle last week before they go to the packing plant, and the oilers was just an approach that we used at the time. We're developing better ways to deliver therapies to fat cattle in a way that we're not stressing them. It's important that it has to be passively administered because you don't want to create a stress to apply a anti-stress technology, right? So anyways, at the end of this, we sent those animals to the packing plant, two different studies. Half of them got the therapies, the bovine appeasing substance, and the other half was just control. The most significant effect we noticed was an increase in carcass dressing. One study was 1.7 percentual points. The other study was a full point. Some of those animals were able to get a blood sample right after they were slaughtered, okay, at the exsanguination part. And the cortisol concentrations on the treated cattle was half than the controls. So we're still not 100% sure how we can increase carcass dressing by mitigating stress through therapies, the bovine appeasing substance. But my hypothesis is as you apply the product and they go through the stress of shipping, arrival, unloading, and slaughter, we are decreasing cortisol concentrations, which is a stress hormone. And cortisol is known to deplete muscle glycogen reserves, right? And muscle glycogen is important not only to mediate a pH drop in the carcass, that's important for the coloration. If you don't have a decent pH drop, you can have dark cutters. In addition to that, glycogen has a fairly substantial water holding capacity. So if you burn all the glycogen with high cortisol, basically the cells of the muscle cannot hold moisture. So moisture is weight, right? Water is weight. So what I think is happening is as you apply therapies, you are decreasing cortisol, you're not burning the glycogen reserves, muscle cells are capable of holding more moisture, and also they have more glycogen to modulate the pH trap. So that increasing moisture means what? Greater dressing, okay? 1.7 percentage points in one study, 1 percentage point in the second. That's basically the carcass being able to hold more moisture as they're hanging. For the dark cutters, the incidence was very low. On one study was 2.5% for controls, and then 0.8% for the treated cattle. So it was a threefold decrease. But because it's so low, it's too hard to pick up statistical differences. On the second study was 5% for controls and was 2.5% for treated cattle. So a twofold drop, but again, not enough to pick up statistical differences. But the carcass dressing was indeed statistically different and also replicated over both studies. Application of the bovine appeasing substance at weaning and at receiving gives the producer a substantial ROI. But you'll see that return, you know, over 45, 60, 80 days. It takes longer for the producer to notice that return on investment. Now, for the fed cattle, you know, going to the packing plant, you see that return in 3 days. Okay, you apply today or, you know, for a few days before slaughter, and then they get killed. You see the results right away as you get the check from the packing plant. So those are the three. It's a three-pronged approach on the use of the bovine appeasing substance. We're also now looking into application of the time of reimplant, okay, the terminal implant, so they don't go off feed if that's a problem, and also that change in the implant can cause some physiological stress. That's something we're investigating. But the protocol that I'm looking at right now, Aaron, is application at weaning, application at feedlot feedlot arrival, receiving period. If cattle, they are yearlings going to the feedlot, the same thing at arrival, okay, at reimplant, and also before going to the packing plant. So it gives the producer several windows of opportunities capitalized from the benefits. There are also some potential implications to dairy cows, implications to reproduction of beef cows as well, in terms of reducing stress during the sink protocol, perhaps increasing conception rates. Those are all studies that we're running right now. We hope to have results pretty soon to share. Okay, the concept is there. I just need the data to support the concepts. If it works, how much it works, and what's the ROI on it?
Yeah, as I looked at your data and as I just hear you talk about it, it drives for me a lot of questions, but also thinking about opportunities, which you've already mentioned, you know, thinking about estrus synchronization, timed AI programs, even thinking about weaning and taking calves to the sale barn, thinking about, you know, reducing stress as those calves get on the truck, as they're at the barn, as they go through the auction market process, reducing shrink. There's just a lot of potential applications that come to mind. So really looking forward to the data you're collecting and also just thinking about then how do we apply this effectively in different production systems?
Yeah, when you have to, you know, receiving cattle at weaning, it's easy because you're processing individually, restraining those animals. It should be into the weaning protocol or receiving protocol or initial processing of every single cow-calf operation for every single receiving yard or finishing yard, because you're handling cattle right, you know, right there. There's a chance to apply the product. But the thing is, no living organism in this world is stress-free. Every single time, even though you think you have the most stress-free management system, there is stress. Something is driving those animals away from its comfort zone. Okay, so when that happens, which is basically part of nature, the product is going to give benefits. Okay, it can be large benefits or smaller benefits. But the benefits will be there because no living organism on this planet is completely stress-free. Now, for dairy cows, the same. It's easy to apply. For doing estrus synchronization, the same thing as you do the shots. We're identifying windows where it's the best time to apply the product. So when you are individually handling animals, application of therapies is something that should be considered very carefully because the benefits are proven. Now, The challenge now is for fed cattle before they go to the packing plant. You don't want to handle them. You don't want to run them through a chute. You don't want to cause a stress on them a few days before slaughter, because otherwise the benefits of the product are going to go away, right? You don't want to create a headache to give the animal an aspirin. You want to give the product, you know, to help them with the stress that's still to come. So finding ways to passively administer to fed cattle before going to the packing plants are a challenge now. Right now, we're running studies where, as they go into the truck, we find ways to spray them in the back of the head as they're going up the loading platform into the truck. We're also being successful a few days prior to slaughter, just having somebody behind the feed truck. And as the animals come to the feed bunk, we just use a sprayer to spray them behind the head as best as we can. We know that not all animals come to the feed bunk first thing in the morning, but if we hit them 3 days before slaughter, the day of slaughter, and as they go into the truck, we're getting most of them on those two initial application times, and then all of them final loading application time. But the point is, for this last instance, is not to stress them to apply the product. That's critical. For all the other instances, we're going to be handling animals no matter what. So application of the therapies, it's something that should be incorporated into the normal routine of those operations.
Well, Dr. Cook, thanks for your time today. I again find your research very interesting. I think application is going to be very interesting as well, and looking forward to the results that are yet to come.
You bet. Like I said, everything that I'm saying here, it's been published. It's all in the literature. This is all science-driven data. It's all available for anyone to access those journal articles. So I appreciate the time. And this technology, the bovine appeasing substance, really excites me because we still have 5, 10, 15 years of research ahead to understand the full benefits of this approach.
Well, for more information on the topic we discussed today, Dr. Ronaldo Cook is with Texas A&M University. You can find his information in terms of contact information in the Animal Science Department there at Texas A&M University.